Good morning. It is good to be back this morning. We missed a week. We left, went to New Mexico, and had a great time of 62 degrees while we were up there, while y'all were enjoying the 10-degree weather and all back here. Not a bit of snow on the mountains. It normally is covered by this time of the year, but anyway, it was still 62 degrees. Some things just don't work out the way they're supposed to. We even had two sleds with us in the car. Sleds for snow, not dirt and sand. Just some things just don't work out. We're going to skip a week in the book of Acts because I was sitting and thinking, and maybe you've watched those commercials, and any of you seen the Milky Way commercials? Maybe you haven't, maybe you have, I don't know. But in those commercials, you'll see one of the men, there's a man laying at the bottom of the staircase with a sofa laying on top of him, and the other one on the stairs still yet looking at him, eating a Milky Way. And he's just eating away. And then they show another one where there's a highway worker, a couple of them standing out there, and the camera pans up and he looks, and you see the striped line doing this number down the road. And then a little bit later, you see a lady, she's in a tattoo parlor, I guess, and she's putting this tattoo on this real burly-looking biker dude, right? And he looks mean and ferocious and all that, and it pans to his arm and it says, "No regrets." And he looks down and he says, "Regrets?" And she just simply says, "Sorry, I was eating a Milky Way." What does that have to do with anything? I know you're wondering that. But I had to laugh when he's looking at his arm and she's tattooed forever and ever, amen, "No regrets" on his arm. And the only thing she can say is, "Sorry, I was eating a Milky Way." And how many times do insignificant things distract us in this life and we still think that's enough of a cause, enough of a reason to outweigh what's really gone on in our life? Here's someone who's supposed to be a professional doing their job, and yet all they can say is, "Sorry, a Milky Way was all worth it." I can mess up anything in my life, I can mess up things in your life, and it's all okay because at the end of the day, I have my Milky Way. Somehow distractions in life somehow are supposed to outweigh the confusion or the destruction, I guess, that's caused by those things. So I think here we are at the beginning of the new year. And we've done this how many times in our life? Some of us more than others, we met or we welcomed in a new year in our life. Some of you have only welcomed a few in your life, some many more than even I have. But if we're here in another year and we're sitting in the same place you're sitting right now and a year from now, what are you going to say about your life? "I have regrets because I didn't do these things in my life." How many of you, I won't call on you, I won't point to you to tell me what they are, but how many of you have regrets in your life? Anyone have anything they're regretful for? Most of us do. If you don't, man, you're blessed. Regrets. And so we look, and I think I'm going to challenge us, myself as well, as I'm looking at these things and want to share them with you. I look at, in a year from now, what will I be saying I have regrets about? What do we have regrets about from last year? And you know, the reality is, it doesn't matter what you did last year, you can't change it. No matter what you've done, you can't change the things that you've done a year ago. It's impossible, right? Even you can't change yesterday or this morning. You can't change it. But when you think about 2019, and you're sitting right where you are 1 year from today, and looking back, you can change that to that. What will you say on those pews, or wherever you are in a year from now, what will you say about your life and the regrets that you'll have in 2018. You can change those regrets now. What regrets do we have? Well, you just think, first off, just physical. Look at our physical bodies, the physical things in this life. And Milky Way candy bars somewhat represent the fascination, I guess, that we have with sweets. And all of that, all those things that are unhealthy. And you think about that, and I know, I'm sorry, some of you may love Milky Way, but they represent everything in reality in our life that are unhealthy. You think about things all across the board that are unhealthy. How many of them have warning labels on them as immediately we look at them, and right before we ingest those things, it says right on it, don't ingest this. This isn't good for you. This is going to cause this or this or this or this. These things are not good for you. And cigarettes out of one, and Copenhagen, or whatever snuff, and all those kinds of things say right on them, do not ingest these because they're going to kill you. So we do it anyway. And then we go and we see all the warning, and we realize that there are more people killed because of alcohol than any other thing in the country. And yet what do? We continue ingesting those things. And we think, it's okay, none of that bad stuff's going to happen to me. But it's not just those things. We like to pick on those because those are easy. But as you drive down through the middle of our town, what grows faster than anything? Fast food. Do any of you remember when Taco Bell was open here? Anybody remember that? Do you remember how long the line was to get into the parking lot of Taco Bell? It went all the way up, basically the Bronx, to get into Taco Bell. I don't know about you, I don't really like Taco Bell that much. I'm sure not going to wait an hour and a half to get a bean burrito from Taco Bell. I get one from Taco Miles just as good. But our doctors tell us over and over and over and over again what? Cut back on the bean burritos. Cut back on the chili dogs and the hamburgers. Cut back on the soda. You shouldn't be doing those things. Why? They're not good for you. They're not healthy for you. So quit doing those. There's nothing healthy about any of those things. Why do we keep doing it? Exercise. How many of your doctors have ever said, you know what, whatever you do in your life, whatever you do, do not exercise ever. It's horrible for you. Don't go walk around the block a couple of times every day because it's going to kill you if you do that. Is that what our doctors say? Or do they say, you know what, you ought to get up off of that recliner once in a while and walk. And I'm not talking about walking from the kitchen to the car. I'm talking about go walk. Cardio thing, something that's going to be a benefit to your life. How many of us listen to our doctors and take that advice? Why is it that the beginning of the year, every year, all those places like the Wellness Center, all over the world, they grow bigger in January? Man, they are waiting for January to hit. Why? Because everybody wants to join. And man, here goes all that money. They're collecting that money like crazy in January. And a few people will start going, and by February, what happens? There's not such a long line over there for those exercise equipment anymore, is there? And we look and we do those things. Why is it so difficult? And why is it that, and I'm sorry if I offend somebody, I don't mean to offend anybody, but why is it that lately that the in thing in clothing are those stretchy pants that you can just pull on? It's fashion statement, right? No, it's because we don't have to buy the next size clothes quite as quickly as we would otherwise. Some of those things, we look and we go, Why do we ingest things into our person, into our body that we know we shouldn't be doing? We know full well the benefits of physical exercise and the disease caused from the lack thereof. Why do we continue to be mesmerized by such horrible lifestyles? Because it's before us every single day. It's easy. We can do it. It only takes 30 seconds to fix a meal. It only takes 30 seconds to run through to grab something where we don't have to think through. So, once again, we fast forward into 2019. What regrets will we have about our health then? Will we have regrets for giving up our Milky Ways? Well, not only, you know, the physical things, but what about our life? What about the relationships that we have? And you start thinking about your friends. You then start thinking about the people you spend the most time with in your life. And I don't know how many of you on Facebook, but I have a Facebook account, and I'm looking at it, and I have, I don't know, 700, 800, 900 friends on there. How many of you have 900 friends? Okay, and you know, when you say friends, 900 is a lot of people, and you're not friends with all those 900 people, but somehow you're connected to them. And I start reading, and I'm looking at, and some people really love to print things. Some people really love to put things on for you to read them, don't they? And sometimes I'm reading those things, and I'm tempted to respond to what they're saying, and then I just sit back and go, no, I ain't getting that mess. That is silliness. Why in the world do I want to be in the middle of that? And so I start thinking of all of my friends that I have. How many of those friends are actually helping me in this life get where I want to be? How many of those friends are actually helping me become more spiritual and deeper in my faith and my relationship with God? Do we need to rethink who our friends are? Or maybe we need to start asking the question, how many of those friends that I have, am I helping them get deeper in their faith so that they are going to end up at the end of this life in a better place in 2019 than they were last year? What am I doing to ensure that their faith is strengthened and deepened and they know and they love God more next year than they do this year? What friends do you have? Do you have regrets with the friends you've chosen? Or the relationship that you have with those friends? Do you have any regrets? What will those regrets be in a year from now? And what about, really now, what about dating? Any of y'all dating someone, seeing someone? What kind of dating relationships? Who do we date? Who are you going out with? That may be more about young people and what they're doing, but who are you seeing? What kind of relationship? What does it look like? And is that relationship one that you can say, they too are helping me get closer to God? Or I'm helping them? Because I promise you right now, if that's not the case, if your friends aren't helping you, you're not helping your friends, if whoever you're dating is not helping you, you're not helping them, then you will have regrets in this life for the rest of your life. I guarantee you, you will have those regrets from now on. We need to start looking at and understanding that the people that we put in our lives are really, really important. And in a year from now, we will either have regrets or we won't because of those choices. And Paul makes it really clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about marriages, about relationships, about the people we put in our life. And he says, do not be yoked unto unbelievers. Marriage is part of that. What? Because he goes on, the second part of that verse, and he says, what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? There is no way darkness and light cannot have a relationship together. It's impossible. You realize that? What happens when you take a light into a dark room? Does it stay dark? No. It changes, doesn't it? And that's the whole point. How can you have a relationship with something or someone that's totally opposite of who you are? And if you're a Christian, you can't have that kind of relationship with someone who's not a believer. It doesn't work. What about our marriages? Are we strengthening our marriages? Are we hindering? What have we done to strengthen those things? How have we grown closer? How are we helping each other? And how often do we talk about spiritual things? And I'm not talking about what time are we leaving for church or what are we going to take to the next fellowship meal. I'm talking about when is the last time we actually had a discussion about spiritual things in our life? It's imperative to a good relationship that Christ is in the center of it. It can't work if that's not it. In 2019, what will we look back and say our regrets are in our relationships? What will you regret a year from now? You have a choice of what those regrets will be or will not be. What choice will you make? But I think maybe the most important thing as we think about our regrets is this: eternity. What regrets are we going to have? When you think about the Hebrew writer says in chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. Or as we would say more accurately today, the sentencing is going to happen. We're living the judgment right now. And at that day when we leave this place, there will be a sentencing. Well done, good and faithful servant, welcome in, or depart from me, I never knew you. We have the opportunity of living one life. And when we were young, we thought we were invincible. Nothing was going to happen to us. Forever is out in front of us. Every year that goes by, we realize more and more we're not so young as we once were. How many of you have had that conversation with someone? I just did this morning, sitting back there, kneeling down beside Peggy, and having to get up. I don't get up so easy anymore. I know that I'm getting older in my life, and I realize I've lived a lot of years, and I look back and I think, how much longer do we have? If I have another year, what am I going to look at my life and understand at that time? What life will we choose to live? Remember, no one else can make the choices of the life that we live except ourselves. We are the only ones who's going to make that life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Get your Bible open up for a second there. A few verses. Paul writing to Timothy. He's reminding Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy about his life, the life he's living in, and all that he is about. This one life that we give. In verse 14, he's telling Timothy to remind the church, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now listen to what he just said. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. How do we present ourselves approved unto God? How do we live a life in such a way that when we go before God, God is going to say, well done. That's what approved means. I approve of the life that you've lived. Well done, good and faithful. So what does he say? Being approved to God is being a workman first. Doing the things that we need to do. Get up and do what God wants you to do. Live the life that God has called you to live. Treat people the way people are supposed to be treated, the way God said to treat one another. Accurately handling the word of truth. You hear what he said? Accurately handling the word of truth. How do you accurately handle something? Practice. How can you ever know how to handle God's word if you never touch it? Is that a possibility? No, it's not. It's impossible. And so the more that we are in His Word, the more we look at His Word, the more we study it, the more we read it, the more that we allow God to change us, the better we are at handling it, the more accurate we are at handling His Word. And He's called us. He says, if you want to be approved before God, these are the things that you need to do. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, He says right after that. Don't get into those fruitless discussions. Those people that are all over Facebook, don't waste your time arguing with them about ridiculousness. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do them any good. Have a good laugh if you want, whatever, but don't immerse yourself into those kinds of things because there's nothing good about it. He's telling us, strengthen your faith, strengthen the faith of those around you. Then he says, everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. If you're a Christian, if you say, I want to follow Christ, and you just said, I'm going to stay away from the things of this world. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to stick my toes into the water. I'm not going to do those kinds of things and get just as close to the edge as I can. I'm going to stay away as far as I can away. We cannot do those things. We have one life and one opportunity to get it right. How are we going to do it? We have one life. And I don't remember if I've ever told this story, but many, many years ago, I heard this story, and I think about the flight, these two ladies that had a wonderful relationship together. Best of friends, did everything together, and one day, one of them was with some other people, and they started talking and gossiping just a little bit, and she started telling some things about her friend that she shouldn't have told. And when it all came out, all these other people looked at this lady differently, and then all of a sudden nobody wanted anything to do with this lady, and she knew that she had destroyed this lady's life. And they were never friends again. Many, many years later, at the very end of their life, she went over to apologize. Finally, she said, I just want to tell you how sorry I am. This has eaten at me my entire life. And I want to do something to make up for it. What can I do? And she said, well, here's what you can do. Take this pillow of mine and take it up into town and climb up on in the bell tower and tear it open and dump all the feathers out. She said, that's kind of a strange request, but okay, if that'll make you happy, I'll do it. And so she went and she climbed the stairs, got to the top, cut it up, and took all the feathers out of that pillow. And the wind took the milk feathers in the wind. They're gone. She comes back and hands her the empty pillowcase and she says, I've done what you asked. Is there anything else that I can do to make it right what I've done to you? And she said, yes, there's just one more thing. And she goes, okay, what is that? Go back and take all those feathers up and put them back in the pillow. I can't do that. That's too hard. It's impossible. I can never find all those pillows. I can never make this right. And she said, you know, that's what happens when you choose to live a lie and do the same things you did. Those can never be taken back. What kind of life are we choosing to live right now? Every decision that we make has consequences, whether they're good or bad, and we have one opportunity. What are we going to have regrets over for this life? Not only our life is going to be one, there's only going to be one more. Now, I just did a funeral, a memorial service for a lady in the city on Friday. And her family had her body cremated. And they knew that there was no chance of her coming back to this place. They knew she was gone. And that's why they went through this cremation. And they said, well, she's not coming back, so we're going to give her up. We know that she's gone. And I think about in Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I start thinking about that. And I realize that if you don't remember the story, the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man is living his life and he's enjoying everything that he has at his disposal. All of his money, he's living life large. And it says in verse 19, there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. That was his life. And it says that Lazarus lived his life very, very destitute. And life isn't always as we want it to be, or ever as we really think we should be able to live life. It's not always that way for us. But it says both of them passed from this life. And it says there was this great chasm that divided them. And a rich man is trying to get Abraham to send Lazarus over to him to help him out. I'm in pain over here. He said, no, I can't do that. Because you see, there is this chasm that divides us. And where you are, you're always going to be. And there's no way to get from here to there or there to here. There's only one death, and it's going to separate. And at that death, at that judgment of time, we're going to know where we're going to spend eternity. There's not going to be any do-overs. There's not going to be any mulligans like in golf or anything else. We don't get another chance. We have one life and that one death, and that's the only one we're ever going to experience. The choice is ours, just like the rich man's brother. When he says, well, send someone back and warn them. Abraham says, they have. They've already been told. And they have the choice as to how to live their life and what death that they will enter. We have the same. What kind of death will we have? You know, we think about the end is eternity. We make jokes about eternity. Peter or Paul sitting at the pearly gates and someone meeting them. And we talk and we laugh about those things. But the reality is, once we get there, there's no going back. Eternity is eternity. January the 1st of 2019, as you welcome your new year by reflecting on the former year, which we're living right now, will you regret the life you've chosen to live? Will you regret the things that you've done physically? Will you regret the relationships that you have? Will you regret where you stand before God? If you leave this place this year, what will you regret in eternity? The choice is yours whether you will regret or not the life that you have right now. I think here's the greatest thing is this. Jesus Christ is able to make all things wonderful because of the sacrifice that He made. As long as we're breathing a breath of life here, we have the opportunity to change our regrets. We don't have the regrets eternally that we are going to face if we don't have Christ in our life. If we're not in Him, we'll have regrets when we go before our Father, because we know what we're going to hear. He's going to simply say, depart from me, I do not know who you are. What kind of regrets are you going to have? I love it. I've read this passage many, many times. You've read it as well. Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. And he says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the course, I've kept the faith, and in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but to all of those who have loved His appearing. Paul was ready, and he had no regrets leaving this life behind. What regrets will you leave behind? Will you enter this just like Paul? Have you put that old person to death that has challenged you, that has caused you to just say simply like a silly commercial, sorry, I was eating this one? There's all kinds of distractions in your life that aren't any more significant, aren't any more important than a candy bar when you think about your eternity. A lot of things can distract us and keep us away from God. Keep us away from Christ. But that choice is yours.
What regrets will you have in you? What regrets will you have when you walk through those doors and you leave to get in your car, go home, or wherever you're going this afternoon? You don't have to have any. You don't want it. You can lay all those regrets at the feet of Christ. He said he's big enough and he's strong enough, but he's powerful enough to say. He's powerful enough, according to the measure of life, and be ready to go before the Father. Before him, where are you this morning? What regrets do you want to lay down at the feet of Christ for all eternity? That's those of yours. And we'll make it right now.